Okay. Now, Perek Vav Mishnah Daled, we've moved on to the Av Nezek of Esh, of fire. So, we started very straightforwardly, with an exception as usual. Hasholeach es ha-be'era b'yad cherishot v'katam. If a person sends a fire in the hands of a cherish, the deaf mute, no das, or the shota, the mentally incompetent, or the katan, the child, we're talking here about a glowing ember. That is, you know, you put it down on kindling, it's going to burst into flame. Pater midine adam, if the kid goes and puts down the burning ember, the glowing coal, in some place, and the fire bursts out, the person who gave him the coal is pater midine adam, meaning he can't get sued and lose in basin, because he it was only a grama. However, chaya midine shemaim, here you see that such a thing exists, and really exists throughout the whole Nezikin. In heaven they'll get him. The Mishnah says, in heaven you're going to pay, because you were totally negligent, but since you didn't actually do anything with your own hand, and another human, all you did was give a coal, and coals normally go out. They don't keep burning, so it's not a certain thing that a fire would happen. But you acted totally irresponsibly. So then, if the coal doesn't go out and the child puts it in a dangerous place, you are pater b'dinei adam. They won't be able to sue you, but chay b'dinei shemaim, heaven will get you. Now, if the case is, and this is what the Mishnah sounds like the thing, but it isn't, then I actually took, you know, a big torch with a big open flame, you know, the Olympic torch, and I hand it over to a child to hold for me, then, or a cheresh or a shota, then I, the one who gave the child cheresh or shota a open flame, I am responsible, even b'dini adam. Because that's certainly going to cause a damage. Wherever that goes down, it's going to make a fire. So it's a surefire disaster. So then I'm responsible. That's like, you know, it's equivalent, so to speak, of, you know, tying a fire to the back of a fox's tail and letting the fox run around. Of course, that's just going to spread a fire. Inevitable. So, that's from Shimshon. So, but that's the same idea. Like, you give a child an open flame, what do you think is going to happen? Of course, someone's going to catch on fire. So that's inevitable. And then even be the other to be chayav. So the case for Mishnah is where it's a glowing ember, which normally goes out. So, you know, it's not openly going to make a fire. It should go out. But if it doesn't, that's the case. Now, shalach biyad pikeach. If, on the other hand, I give a regular person, pikeach, normal person, a open flame, even if I tell the guy, do me a favor and burn so-and-so's house down, even so, ha pikeach chayav. The only responsible party is the arsonist, the pikeach, the regular guy who took the flame. Me who gave him the fire, I'm pater. That would be true even if I told him to cause a fire. The reason why is because there's such a din as ein shliach davar avera. There's no such thing as being a person's agent in terms of doing an avera. Every human being is own bal b'chir. You have responsibility, you have choice. And if you do something wrong, you're responsible. You can't say, oh, must have been him. So even if I told you to do it, you're responsible, and it's your, I'm off the hook. I would just be able to say, oh, I was just kidding. Of course, I didn't mean to burn the guy's house down. But that sounds like a dodge, and it is a dodge. But the point is, you have your own. You're a big boy. What are you doing? What are you doing, burning people's house down? The technical phrase that the Gemara uses is divrei harav v'divrei hatalmid mishomen. If you have instructions from the teacher and the student, who are you going to listen to? So, like, that's what me who gave you the fire will say. You know what the Torah says is usher. The rav in the case is God. You know Hashem doesn't let you burn down people's houses, so okay, I told you to. You're going to listen to me or Hashem. It's your responsibility. That's the din. Now, new case here. The next Mishnayos are going to say, essentially, the next part of the Mishnah, I should say, is going to say, whoever is the person who caused the fire to go, that's one who's responsible. So the case is going to be that, for example, the first case is, Echad Hevi Yesa'ur, Mr. A brought the fire. The Echad Mevi Yesa'etim, and Mr. B then, after the fire was on the floor, he brought the wood to make the fire. The case is, and this is the theme for all the next cases, if Mr. B would not have come with his fire, Mr. A's fire would have gone out by itself. Only, of course, it's a fire, but it wouldn't have damaged, but it would have gone out. But since the second guy came and brought the fuel source, maybe as they ate him, the guy who brought the wood, the fuel, chayv, he's the one who's chayv, he made it happen. Similarly, Echad Hevi Yesa'etim, Mr. A brought a pile of wood, and then Mr. B, Echad Hevi Yesa'ur, and then Mr. B brought the fire. Of course, the wood alone is not dangerous, so the second guy alone brings the fire. Hamevi Yesa'ur, the guy brought the fire, he's the one who's chayav. Now, what if there's three guys? Ba'acher v'liba, the first two guys, their fire and wood wouldn't do anything. It wouldn't spread. But ba'acher, the third guy comes, v'liba, and he fans the flame. So, and without him, it wouldn't have spread. But with him, the third guy fanning the flame, it does spread. Hamalaba chayav. The third guy is the one who's responsible. He's the one who put the fire out the pit. Now, if all the three guys worked in tandem, the fire guy brought the fire, the wood guy brought the wood, and the fanning guy started fanning it, but still it couldn't work. It wasn't going, wasn't working. It wasn't spreading, the fire wasn't spreading, or couldn't spread, wouldn't spread, didn't spread. And then Libsa Haruach, the wind comes and does it. And without that, without the wind, no one would have been, no fire would have spread. But with the wind, now the house burned down. Kulan Paturin. Everyone's pater because the thing that did it was the fire, it was the wind. Again, speaking it out. The wind has to be an unexpected, unpredictable, you know, abnormal wind. Thought that they could, if the wind would have stayed normal and conditions would have maintained, you know, their predictable pattern, that the house would have burned down. No, then the first guys are chayav. We're talking a case where if you'd ask a fireman, you know, assuming that conditions, unforeseen conditions don't happen, will this fire now spread? Even if it's got the fuel and the fire and the have been fanned, will it spread and burn down the house? The fireman will say, no, it wouldn't. But then the wind picks up and the fireman and the house burns down. The fireman will say, well, I didn't know the wind was going to pick up. That's the case we're talking about where they're all putter. Okay. Now, Nudin, Hashloach Hasabeira, a person sets a fire and off it spreads. Va'achla Eitzim, it burns down wood, or Avanim, or even stones, or Af, or even dirt. Chayav, he's obligated for all that stuff. Now that is Shenamar, as the Pasuk says, Ki Teitzi Eish, when a fire goes out, Umatza Kotim, and it finds the thorns, it's like, you know, the kindling, V'nechel Gadish, and it consumes the stack, the haystack, O Kakama, or the standing grain, O Hasadeh, or even the field itself. Shalom Yishalom Hamavir Esa Be'era. The person who made the fire, he will certainly pay. The drasha for this line of the Mishnah is the extra word Hasadeh. Now, the fact that it ate the field, it seems certainly, you know, what's the word? I want to say superlative. That's not what I want. Certainly, superfluous. That's what I want. Thank you. It's certainly superfluous, because you already said the gadish and the kama, like the it burned down the stacks and the grain. What's the field itself? The drasha is there that fire burns whatever it burns. And even things that don't normally are, like, let's call them not normally burned. I'll use the word inflammable, although I'm aware that word means also flammable. What can I do? But the unburnable things, still you're on the hook for it. If it chars it, if it blackens it, based on the word sadeh. This, just to speak out, is la fuke. It's as a in contradistinction to. If you remember back in the very beginning of the Masechta, we talked about the Shein and Regel, and we said, what is Shein and Regel, when are you responsible for damage done by Shein and Regel? And we said, only when it comes to Shein, the animal is only Masha Roila, whatever it's normally supposed to eat. And if it eats things that aren't, it's not considered, you're not on the hook if it eats something that's weird. Remember that? Same goes with, right. So this is as opposed to that. Here it is. It should be Perek Beis, Mishnah Beis, I believe. Yep. Here it says, "Ketzad Hashem Mu'edes." What's it when it comes to animals eating? What's it a mu'ed for that you pay damages? Le'achol es haroila. It's only you only pay damages on what it should normally be eating. Roi. But fire isn't normally supposed to burn on things like stones and the field. But so what? You're still chayv. Now, Nudin, what happens if you have a safe fire? In other words, you've smoked the bear, said this fire shouldn't spread, because there's, let's say, for example, a big stone wall around your campsite. So if you have, and then it, so the fire passes over that wall or the river, whatever it is, and causes damage, again, you'll be putter, because smoke the bear would have told you this is a safe fire. Okay, but something unexpected happened. So, Avra Gader, if your fire leaped over a wall. Gader here means a wall. It's shu gavoa arba amos. It's 4 amos tall. You're talking like 6 feet or so tall, the size of the height of a doorway. So if a stone wall, the height of a doorway, and it's a tall wall, and the fire gets on the other side of it. The case, by the way, is where not only is it four amos, like six, seven feet off the ground on your side, but it's also 4 amos, you know, 6, 7 feet from the top of the wall to the where the flammable stuff on your neighbor's backyard is. That's important because the sparks will fly over the over the wall, and if he's got a big, you know, pile of leaves against the wall, and only has to drop a foot before making go on fire, of course, that's not going to help you. The sparks will go up and over. It has to be this 4 amos clear on either side of the wall. Okay? Oderach harabim, or if the fire leaps over a derech harabim, a public street that's in 16 amos, something like 8 meters, give or take, you know, whatever, 8 yards. Like, it's, you know, it's more than from Yitzhak to the wall, more than that. So that's a, you know, a path. The fire jumps over the whole path. That's considered to be unexpected, unpredictable, and to be putter. O nahar, or if the fire leaps over a river. In all those cases, since you wouldn't expect to jump over them, you'll be putter. Now, the Gemara, when it talks about rivers, it says two different things. It talks about the river's 8 almost wide, which is roughly from, I guess, from me to the wall, roughly speaking. And another part of the Mishnah talks about the water in the river. So the Gemara talks about the water in the river. So the tour and the rush both learn that either or would do. Either water, even a little tiny channel of water channel will be enough to have a hefsek in a little tiny channel. Or river bed, even though there's no water inside of it. It's hard for me to understand how that, why it's different, why river bed is less, is more of a fire retardant than just a derech harabim, because remember the river bed is 8 almost, the regular derech harabim is 16 almost. It's hard to understand why that should be so different. We speculated about it being, you know, like a, you know, concave, and therefore like there's like the fire could fall in the pit or whatever and things wouldn't spread as easily, but they would say either or. Either the Russian tourists say either any amount of water, or even a little bit. I also don't understand that. Why can't fire jump over a little bit of water? So we speculated maybe the water keeps the air cool, and we don't talked about that. But anyways, I can't tell you. I don't really understand it. The Rambam, however, says, and much more understandably, that both you have an 8 amma wide river bit, and you have water running through it, not just an empty river bed. So water plus the gap is what's going to make an efficient, effective, you know, fire retardant. That's like the Rambam. Okay, in all those cases, if the fire traverses over your barrier, putter, your putter, because how could you expect that to happen? Now, new question. In,
but even a small amount of water, it's silly.
It's too hard to understand, right? Yeah, I don't know.
A little tiny stream, it's this big, and it's like it's not going to jump up.
I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. So now, the new question here is how much. So, yeah?
Does it have to be flowing water, moving water, or can it be standing water? Because if it's standing water,
I think it's flowing water. I think it's flowing water, but it's a channel of, you know, even a small channel, irrigation channel, you know, like a one on wide channel is enough. It says the Russian tour. I don't know. Now, Hamadlik Basokh Shalom. The question is, when a guy lights a fire in his own backyard, so then how much barrier does he need to leave responsibly, like field between his property and his neighbor's property, that he can, you know, comfortably be confident he'll be able to stomp it out or extinguish it without it going to his neighbor's field? I mean, if it's obviously needs to leave some kind of barrier, how much is enough that you have to be afraid the fire will spread into your neighbor's field? So there's 4 different shittas here. So Ad kama tavor dleika, how far will the fire spread? Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah Omer, ro'nasa ki'iluhu be'emtza base court. You have to look at the fire as if in the middle of a base core. That's what you need to be safe. A base core is a very big area of land. It's the biggest area of land that Chazal talk about. It's, there are 30 sa in a core, so it's just the same way that a base sa is the amount of land which you could plant a sa, 12 liters of seeds, which is about 2,500 square almost, i.e. 50 by 50 almost. So a base core is 30 times that size, so instead of 2,500 square almost, it's 75,000 square almost. It's big. So if you have a square field, 75,000 square almost in area, that would mean that each side is roughly 274 almost. So you're looking as if you're in the middle of the base core, meaning you'll need to have 137 almost on each side in all directions, safe. If you're within 137 almost square feet. Let's go chazanish for a second, and so there are 4 that, just to be round here. An amma is 2 feet. That's a very big amma, but it doesn't matter. So then that's every square amma is 4 square feet. So instead of 75,000 square ammas would be 300,000 square feet. Big. Big, it's big. Oh yeah, it's big.
A couple of like 3 kingdoms, pretty much. Depending on, you know.
I don't know, but you're in the middle of a base core, meaning 137 ammas in each direction. So that's something like, say, it's called 60 yards, roughly speaking, 60 meters, something like that, which is, you know, a football field is 50. So a base core is basically the a square basically is roughly the length of a football field or a soccer pitch, something like that, roughly speaking. But a square, you know, end to end, 100 yards each direction, something like that. It's big. You're in the 50-yard line. You'd be afraid the fire gets better from the 50-yard line all the way down to the end zone. Now, that's big. Right? So that's Rabbi Elazar Azariah's Shita. Rabbi Eliezer, he was the one who's Shita before the Mishnah talked about the Derech HaRabim. He says, Omer Shesh Shama, 16 Amos all you need for Kederech Rosh HaRabim, the same as Rosh HaRabim. That's enough to make it be safe. Rabbi Kiva Omer Chamisha Mama, he says, it's 50 Amos. You need a 50 Amos buffer. 25 yards, whatever. Rabbi Shimon says, listen, don't give me any of this a priori how dangerous fires are. Fires are, you know, remember that line from Forrest Gump, stupid is as stupid does? I don't care. If the fire got there under normal circumstances, that's how dangerous the fire was. Don't tell me ahead of time how dangerous fires are. He says, the Pasuk says, Shalom Yishalom Hamavir Esabeira. The person who made the fire will pay for it. Hakol Lefiyad Leika. Everything depends on the fire. If it's a big fire, it's going to spread a big ways. If it's a small fire, small ways. If it's got, you know, trees burning, it's got more heat. If it's got, you know, stubble burning, less heat. That's not, you can't make a rule ahead of time. Everything depends on the fire. And that's the din. The din is just like that. That if you make a fire and circumstances didn't go beyond your control, and the fire spread, whatever damage, obviously that was how big the fire and how dangerous it was, and you have to pay.